American woman. It's the Kim Monson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
I find that it takes work to get your brain around these ideas, and it takes work to engage in these conversations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
With what is happening down at the State House, I used to think that it was above my pay grade to read the legislation, and it's not.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
I see big danger in as much as we will be giving an unelected bureaucrat the power to make rules about what we inject into our body.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the show. I am Kim Monson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Monson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can email me at kim@kimmonson.com as well. We have all kinds of great information there right now. We have our voter's guide. Rick Turnquist and I work together on that. Our ballots are going to be mailed starting tomorrow. So we hope this will be a really great tool for you as you sit down and complete your ballot. Also, we have there our sign-up where you can buy tickets to our next Voters Guide Salon Series over at Water's Edge Winery, and that will be on October 19th, and you can buy your tickets there. And then stay tuned this weekend. We're going to be doing a really fun fundraiser for the I'm a Trumpster Minority Bus Tour, and the details will be rolled out on that. That will be October 17th, a Saturday, from 2 to 4 in the afternoon. Great show planned for you today. In studio with me is one of my friends and valued partners, and that is Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management. Great to have you here.
Well, thanks for having me, Kim. I appreciate it.
We've got a lot to talk about. The debate last night, did you watch it, Jason?
Yeah, I forced myself to sit and watch the whole darn thing, and I thought it was pretty much the same thing as the Trump Biden debate, where the moderator made sure that Harris didn't get in trouble. And boy, every question, just a 2-minute windup, this attacking Trump, attacking Pence, attacking the administration. And then finally she would launch the question and be like, well, Mr. Pence, deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
So it was disappointing, to say the least, but not surprising.
Well, and it just came across the wire, Jason McBride, that the second presidential debate, which is on October 15th, will be held virtually for health and safety reasons. Well, that's got to be a gift to Joe Biden because he can have all kinds of help. Did you happen to see, it's not been confirmed, since it's not been confirmed, I'm not going to say that, In this case, he's going to have all kinds of help, I think, because he could have, notes, he can have people in his ear. It's I think, a gift to Joe Biden for this next presidential debate.
COVID has been a gift to the Democrats in many ways. This is just another example. And if you don't believe me, just ask Jane Fonda. She'll tell you.
Yes, Patty found this. This is from freebeacon.com. The Jane Fonda, a Biden campaign surrogate, known for fraternizing with enemy soldiers during the Vietnam War, call the coronavirus God's gift to the left. I just think that COVID is God's gift to the left, Fonda said, and that's a terrible thing to say. I think it's a very difficult thing to send down to us, but it has ripped the Band-Aid off who Trump is and what he stands for and what is being done to average people and working people in this country. She described the coronavirus pandemic as an existential. There you go. Crossroads for humanity to address issues like climate change. Fonda famously posed with enemy troops for a photo on an anti-aircraft gun in 1972, earning her the nickname Hanoi Jane for angered Vietnam veterans. Wait a minute. I thought that the coronavirus came from China, not God.
Well, maybe China is her God.
I was actually thinking the same thing. So we got a great show planned for you today. I will be talking with Doug Townsend here in just a little bit. He is running for Senate District 31. Dr. Jill Vecchio is going to weigh in on President Trump's prognosis regarding the COVID-19 Wuhan virus and the fact that he said, do not be afraid of that. You're in studio. We're going to go through a number of things here in the third and fourth segment.
Hey, before you guys wade into that, I just got a question for you both. Will you both be able to behave today?
Yes, Dad. I get
a mental picture that I'm sitting at a jousting match, and each end of the field, there you are in your horses getting ready to go.
Yeah, you know, he makes so much out of one little thing. You know, you were jumping up and down for joy yesterday, and you were when you wouldn't even let Kim walk into the studio this morning because you wanted to play the clip again and harass her. So, yeah, listen to the instigator trying to scold us.
I guess I'm bipolar. Sorry. Yeah.
The show kind of goes the way the producer says, doesn't it, Kim?
Well, he does control the mics.
Yeah, that's true.
That is true. Yes, for those of you that might not have been listening yesterday, I had Stephen Peck in studio, a millennial, and we were talking about some messaging challenges that we have on Prop 118, which is that forced family paid medical leave, paid medical and family leave. I can't get all these names and things straight this morning, sorry. And we do have messaging challenges because what they have put in there is basically a freebie to just about everybody that could ever have some issue coming up. And I said that that's really hard on young people. And Jason said, it's really difficult for old people like you and me, Kim. And, you know, that really hurt my feelings.
Well, I didn't say you and me.
Yeah,
I said
I missed
it's
the
difficult
you and me.
For old people, as you would well know. That's actually what I said.
Yeah. And then there was stunned silence.
Oh, not really. No, there was. I didn't hear a lot of silence. But that was payback for you giving me harassment from a couple of shows previous, Kim.
But we digress.
We do digress. Yeah, let's continue
on here. I'm just sitting here.
Let's go to our quote for today because I would like to talk to Doug Townsend. So hold on here. Our quote for today is, oh gosh, I can't find where I put it, Steve. Oh, here we go. It's from Benjamin Rush. And I chose Benjamin Rush. He was a signer of the United States Declaration of Independence. He was also a physician, and since we're having Dr. Jill on, I thought it would be great to have him on. Benjamin Rush was a signer of the Declaration, a civic leader in Philadelphia, where he was a physician, politician, social reformer, humanitarian, and educator and founder of Dickinson College. Rush also attended the Continental Congress. He was born in 1745. He died in 1813. And he said this. He said, temperate, sincere, and intelligent inquiry and discussion are only to be dreaded by the advocates of error. The truth need not fear them. I think that's also very appropriate for the vice presidential debate that was on last night. But let's jump over here to Doug Townsend. He is running for Colorado Senate District 31. Doug Townsend, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim.
You're out there on the campaign trail, and the ballots go out on beginning on Friday. What are you hearing out on the campaign trail?
Well, we're hearing a lot of positive feedback as we go around and talk to neighbors, and we've been to about 19,000 households so far. So that equates to about 30,000 voters in the district. Excited to have conversations with them. But literally across the board, regardless of the political leanings, folks are concerned about what's going on with their kids, what's going on with the jobs, the safety and security that they're seeing in our community, concern over the riots that have gone on. It really is kind of a universal theme we're hearing from folks.
Boy, that seems to be very universal. This safety of our communities is, I know that seems to be one of the things that we hear all the time. And there is a clear choice between the destruction and division, which is what we now have with the Democrat Party. Doug Townsend, this is no longer the Democrat Party of JFK and your grandpa and your grandma.
That's correct. Very much so.
What is your district? What area does that entail?
It basically runs, includes central, east central, and southeast Denver. The state capital is the northwest corner. Colfax is basically the northern boundary, goes down to Bellevue, comes up Colorado, or 25 to Colorado to First Street, and then cuts over to the downtown area.
Okay. And have you been down? I've not been downtown for quite some time. Have you seen the Capitol? Has that been cleaned up, or do you know?
The last time I was down there, and it's probably been 2 or 3 weeks since I've been downtown, they were working on cleaning it up. It certainly looked better than it did back in May and June, but there certainly was some work still to be done on it.
Okay. Tell us a contrast between you and your opponent.
I think the number one contrast, my opponent wants to raise taxes. He wants to take more money from our citizens. We had a debate a week and a half ago. We actually participated in a neighborhood association meeting a couple of days ago. And he very much is for the repeal of the Gallagher Amendment. He added the tax on the group health plans. He believes that the only solution to the budget issue is to take more money from hardworking Coloradans who are already struggling themselves. So so that the state can continue to do everything that it wants to do. He really has no concept how to sit there and properly manage a budget. I have 40 years financial leadership experience. This has been a hot topic of conversation between he and I in our forums, that, you know, this is a self-imposed crisis. The reality is our general fund budget this year, even after the reductions, is still 10% higher than what it was only 4 years ago. So it's not like this pandemic took us back 20 years from a budget perspective. Yes, it required some cuts, but those were cuts that, had they been properly planning, we would have never had to make anyway, because they should have been making different spending decisions over the course of the last 2 or 3 years.
So if you, when you go down to the State House, what will you do, Doug Townsend, to address the things that you're hearing from your constituents that they're concerned about?
Well, I'm going to bring my full background that I have in financial management expertise and education. I want to sit there and promote a restructuring of education in Colorado where we really empower local control over that. There's way too much government involvement that drives up the administrative costs. That's why we're seeing increases in school and central office administrators at 2 to 4 times the rate of the increase in students. That takes money out of the classrooms. We need to get rid of the administrative costs, focus those dollars on the education of the children, and that's what education should be all about. How do we sit there and help these children become productive adults and successful in their life, whatever that looks like? So that's a key focus. But also making the state and helping the other legislators understand the implications of decisions that they make on our business community. And it's not that it's just the business community. Those are jobs for Coloradans who want to sit there, earn a paycheck, pay their rent, put food on the table, send their kids to college, and just live their life. If we don't have a strong business community, those job opportunities are not there.
And a strong business community, certainly if you grow that, it actually increases tax revenue, but it dissipates it over many more people. And I find that that is so interesting that Democrat economists have never figured that out, Doug Townsend.
It is fascinating. I don't understand the logic, but clearly it's in their playbook, I guess. I can't rationalize it, because you're right. As you grow the economy, as more people work, as they make money, they're going to pay income taxes. They're going to buy things. We're going to see increases in sales taxes. They're going to buy homes. We'll see increases in property tax revenues. So the growth of the economy will sit there and help fund the services we need to manage the growth in the population and allow the state to do the additional things that it wants to do.
So, Doug Townsend, how can people help you out? How can they adopt you and help you?
They can visit my website, DougTownsendForYou.com, and that's all spelled out, F-O-R-Y-O-U, DougTownsendForYou.com. There's a page on there where they can volunteer, let me know how they would like to help out with the campaign. And, of course, we can always use money to help run the program for trying to do the marketing and getting the word out, handing out flyers. So there's a place for donations on there as well.
Okay. Well, Doug Townsend, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Okay. Thank you. Before we go to break, one of my great partners is Hooters Restaurants. They have 5 locations: Loveland, Aurora, Lone Tree, Westminster, and Colorado Springs. And they have game day specials, to-go specials, and a party pack to go as well. And that's pretty cool. It's $75. You get 50 wings, an appetizer, several orders of curly fries, desserts, and then they also have an optional 6-pack of beer for Bud Light or Michelob Ultra. And you can do a 6-pack of Dos Equis as well. So they have all kinds of specials there. And I think there are sports out there. I'm not sure that everybody's watching pro basketball right now, but there are sports out there. So for more information, go to HootersColorado.com. That's HootersColorado.com. We'll be right back. Jason McBride is in studio. Stay tuned.
Metropolitan Total Property is more than landscaping. Locally owned and operated since 1987, their team is proud to be your neighbor and live in the community. Metropolitan Total Property stands behind their work, and your complete satisfaction is their top priority. Kim Munson highly recommends Metropolitan Total Property for landscaping and more. She was one of their very first clients way back in 1987. Be sure to check out MetropolitanTotalProperty.com for their complete menu of services. Again, that's MetropolitanTotalProperty.com.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lorne Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lorne Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. It is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. We have our voter's guide there. Rick Turnquest and I worked diligently on that. Ballots are going to start to be mailed tomorrow. So we hope that that will be a good tool for you as you fill out your ballot. And you can buy your tickets. We're going to do a Salon Series voter's guide event at Water's Edge Winery on October 19th. Tickets are $20 plus a $3 processing fee. And you can buy your tickets there. So just take a look at, there's all kinds of other information as well. We have all of our show recaps as well as our most recent podcasts and our most recent op-eds. Let's jump over here with Dr. Jill Vecchio. Dr. Jill, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim.
Did you watch the debate last night?
Watched as much as my husband could stomach. Yes. You know, you can only listen to so many lies before your head kind of wants to explode. But, I did watch it. I thought it was nice to see a much calmer atmosphere in a debate. but I wish the vice president could speak faster.
Uh-huh.
His arguments are wonderful, but he ended up still, you know, proceeding with the previous question through over half of his answer to the next question. Come on, pick it up.
Okay. So, Jill, you mentioned lies. Is there anything that just really stood out to you and that Kamala Harris said that you think that we should shed light on?
Wow. I mean, you know, the list is way too long, and I did not commit them to memory. But there were so many allegations and claims that were just false. It was like the vice president was spending all of his time
refuting,
trying to show people, that what she was saying was just not true. I mean, it was just, but it was all the same. It's all the same less talking points.
Yeah.
And the refusal to answer questions that could influence people's choice in this election with the judicial stacking the courts and some of the things that they keep asking, and these folks won't answer. And the Green New Deal, I mean, that was ridiculous.
Yeah. Those were really
on the website.
Yeah. Those were really the two things that I think Pence was successful on, Jill, is that the really drilling down to see, to get an answer on would you pack the courts. And I don't care where you are on a Democrat, you know, Blue Dog Democrat or Libertarian or, you know, Republican, conservative, unaffiliated. Packing the courts is a pretty incredible thing to consider doing. And the fact that they won't answer that, I thought that was a very important point. And then you just mentioned the Green New Deal. They're trying to disavow themselves from that, but it's on the website. So I thought those were two successes. But I wanted to ask you, since we talked last, President Trump had contracted the coronavirus, went to the hospital. He's out. I saw a headline that said that he's developed antibodies. What's your thoughts on all of this, Jill?
I think it is, as President Trump said, in a way, it's a blessing in disguise. Now, you look at leaders of the past, and when he says, you know, the left went crazy when Trump said, you know, I'm a leader. I can't hide in a basement. I'm a leader. I agreed to take these experimental drugs because that's what leaders do. And you look back to Churchill. Churchill went out into no man's land 33 times, including times when he was already in politics. During the raids at the Battle of Britain, I mean, he would stand up on top of a building watching the air raids. You know, he flew in airplanes during World War I and World War II, when airplane travel was still, between those times, when airplane travel was still very risky, but he did it because he needed to get his work done. He went, you know, in ships on convoys across the Atlantic, where there were German U-boats all over the place, but he wanted to go and physically meet with President Roosevelt as part of his job. So it's kind of like a leader can't just sit in a basement. They have to do their job. And the job of the president involves being surrounded by a bunch of people. So the fact that he got it, I mean, he's a germaphobe. You honestly think that he was going to expose himself unnecessarily, that he wasn't going to take all the precautions. But the fact that he got it and then recovered using these medications as, you know, he was the guinea pig. He put himself out there as the guinea pig for experimental treatments, and a combination of experimental treatments came out of it in like 4 days. Are you kidding me? And immediately from the hospital, he climbs these big steps with a mask on. First thing I'm going to do when I get to the top is take the stupid mask off after climbing a bunch of stairs.
Mm-hmm.
Straight out of the hospital. All this tells me is he's a leader. He puts himself in harm's way in order to show the American people not only that you know, he wants to get well, obviously, but not only that, he's like, don't be afraid of the therapeutic. We can treat this. And that's the thing. So much of the media coverage ignores the therapeutics and how effective these therapeutics are. They say, well, the death rate is going down. Hospitalizations are going down. Gee, why do you think that is? Because we have some therapeutics and because the doctors know more about the disease, more about how it transpires, more about the things that put people in the hospital, the timing of symptoms and what the virus does at different times that will cause people to be put in the hospital, cause them to be put on a ventilator, and cause them to die. And now they can address those issues at the proper time during the disease. That's what's decreased hospitalizations and death rate. So it's, you have to put it all into perspective and put it along a timeline, because we didn't know this stuff early on. And they keep saying 211,000 people, most of the vast majority of those deaths were early on. And a lot of them were because of, obviously, we were still learning about the disease, but it was so many of the elderly and a lot of people mishandling nursing homes. And it wasn't just New York. I mean, that the nursing home issue is still going on in some states. So you have to put it into perspective, put it on a timeline. And if you just separated out the people that are most at risk, and if we could take care of them, kind of keep them more separate, have more restrictions on how we handle them and how we interact with them to protect them, then everybody else should be able to live their lives. We can treat the disease. Therefore, also, you don't have to mandate a vaccine, because he's shown everybody you can treat this, right?
Right.
Now we don't have to push the vaccine. Vaccine isn't the only answer. And nobody can say, we're not going to open our county, state, city until there's a vaccine. They can't say that because President Trump has proven at 74 years old that there is a treatment that is very effective. I think this was a blessing in disguise.
I think so as well. And it is so interesting that he doesn't get a break at all. The fact that, as you mentioned, he's 74 years old and he's back to work. He actually never stopped working during this whole time, and he's back to work. You would think that the American media would be lauding what a great event this is, but they're not. The other quick thing I wanted to mention, Jill, is you had mentioned the 200,000 deaths from COVID-19, and Kamala Harris wanted to continue to drill that down. You could see that they still want people to be really, really scared of this, because people are really, really scared of this, then they can control them. And so we've got a big, big, you know, battle going on here right now. What's your final thought you want to leave with listeners this morning, Jill?
That 200,000 people didn't die from COVID. How many times have we talked about this? They have inflated the numbers by at least 40%. And that you don't hear about either, but it takes a longer discussion. It's not going to fit into a 30-second media interview, right? But I want the media people to say more often, these numbers are inflated. This 200,000 is not 200,000 people, and I'm not talking about the 6% number of that died from COVID alone and didn't have comorbidities, because that's kind of a silly thing to even focus on, in my opinion. If you have a comorbidity, then you're more likely to die from COVID, period. So it's like, yeah, it's still a death that may not have happened at that moment without COVID being on board. That's what we care about. So, but those numbers are probably at least half of the 211,000 that they keep talking about. You have to correct it. And then it's so hard on the CDC website, the way that they present their numbers. I mean, it would take you months to go through all of their figures and really figure out the truth about how has the death rate diminished? How have hospitalizations? I mean, they've kind of came crashing down when the whole second wave came on. By the time the second wave came on, the hospitalizations and deaths were way, way down. And that's according to friends of mine that are ICU docs. They're like, wow, people are coming in, but they're going out, you know, standing up. They're not even getting on ventilators. And they're not dying because we know what we're doing. So, I think that kind of thing, the timeline needs to be put better into perspective, I think.
Do you think that would have been possible for Pence or Trump to address that? Because, I mean, that takes some real explaining, but people do need to understand that. I guess that's why you and I have been doing these interviews and the podcast that we've been doing, is to try to shed light on this, Jill.
Right, right. I think President Trump does cover that, and Pence certainly is going to be well versed in it. And I think some doctors are actually starting to talk about it more, and they're getting more airtime to talk about it. Scott Atlas is doing a better job because he understands the clinical side of it. Fauci just keeps, you know, hand washing and stay away from each other and wear a mask. I mean, it's just like a broken record. That's the only thing he seems to know how to say these days, mm-hmm. if they give him a microphone. So I wish it would be more. I think Trump does try to explain it, but a lot of times he gets cut off because people get so angry. Ah! Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. 200,000 people. You don't care about 200,000 people. It's like, can you just let him answer the question mm-hmm. and explain this to people? Maybe mm-hmm. you won't be so upset.
Okay. Dr. Jill Vecchio, thank you so much for shedding light on these issues. It's always great to talk to you. We'll talk to you again very soon. Have a great day.
You too. Take care.
Okay, we're going to go to break. Jason McBride is in studio, and we have tons of things to talk about. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sweet and
welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent op-eds and most recent Sounding Off with Kim Munson podcasts. In studio with me is Jason McBride, a valued partner of the Kim Munson Show with Presidential Wealth Management. Great to have you here.
Well, it's great to be here, Kim, especially after the last couple of days. I thought you might boot me out forever.
Not at all. Not at all. Great to have you here. Let's talk a little bit, first of all, about the debate.
Although we are on a 12-story building, so if she asks you to come look out the window,
don't do it. what'd you think of the debate?
I thought, again, it was basically a repeat of, the Trump-Biden debate. Yeah, it was a bit calmer, but... the strategy was the same. You know, went over it earlier. The moderator made sure that the questions put Pence on the defensive at all times. You know, I had a stopwatch because I wanted to see. And you could bet, boy, when Mike Pence got to 2 minutes, she was interrupting him. And she continued to interrupt him far more aggressively than she did Kamala Harris, who, yeah, she would lightly interrupt, but then she would let her keep going. So, you know.
Do you think she got extra time then?
Oh, I believe she did. That's the way it felt to me. Or if they got equal time, Pence had a lot of his time where he was trying to talk over the moderator because she interrupted so repeatedly. But I thought Pence did a good job. I kind of agree with Dr. Jill. It felt like he was spending a lot of time trying to backtrack to the previous question and, you know, rectify some of the things that Kamala Harris said. But again, you could tell it was designed that way. And, you know, it was 2-on-1.
Mm-hmm.
It was 2-on-1. And I think Dr. Jill made a good point about when Trump tries to answer questions about the coronavirus or just about anything else with the very hostile media, he's constantly being interrupted. If he's trying to answer a question, he says something they don't want to hear, they lose their minds. And it makes it much more difficult for Trump to stay, let's say, very calm and cool and just explain things, because he's always seeming to have to fight his way just to speak.
Mm-hmm. And that was, I think, a strategy. People have said, going back, looking at the presidential debate, that Biden basically started, you know, the interrupting. And then, you know, we were off to the races on that. Dr. Jill mentioned, or we were talking about President Trump and contracting the coronavirus. And 4 days, I mean, he even was working when he was at Walter Reed. This guy doesn't give up. He just continues to work. He's now out of the hospital. Sounds like he has COVID-19 antibodies. And there's a real contrast, Jason, between Trump when he had coronavirus and Chris Cuomo.
Well, and a lot of the liberal celebrities or news persons that got it. But I think the contrast between Trump and Cuomo, I mean, it's a complete dichotomy. I mean, first, you know, Cuomo, you know, had a meltdown the other night because Trump was outside and he took his mask off while he was way up on a balcony, not anywhere near anybody. Well, Cuomo was outside when he had the virus, too. I mean, that aside, I really thought it was interesting when Chris Cuomo caught the coronavirus for 2 weeks, Kim, almost every day. We had to see videos of him caterwauling and bawling and crying and whining and complaining in great detail about all his symptoms and, oh, poor, poor, poor me. Oh, I'm so sick. I'm having hallucinations. I lost my sense of smell. I lost my sense of taste. I mean,
it really scared people.
But it was such whining,
yeah,
every single day. And you get Trump, who gets it. You never heard a negative word. You never saw him look sick. He had nothing but positive things to say, that I'll get through this, the country will get through this. He portrayed nothing but strength and leadership, which is exactly what he should have done. So, you know, I'll conclude it there, because it was just amazing to me how different they handle it.
Well, and there has been this concerted effort, Jason McBride, to really, really scare people. And the fact that President Trump got it, he got through it, and then he comes out and says, do not be afraid. That really flies in the face of this narrative that they really have been ramping up as we're coming into the election cycle now. My friends, there is a coronavirus. If you get it, you're not going to feel good for a while. But as Dr. Jill mentioned, there are therapeutics that have been very successful. We've not seen one person need to use the Colorado Convention Center, which has been converted into a hospital to the tune of $60,000 a day. And I thought that's a dot that I'd like you all to connect, is the taxpayer is paying for that. Somebody is making $60,000 a day on something that is not being used. As I was driving in today, Jason, I looked over and I saw an empty train. I'm thinking, in private enterprise, you're not going to run something empty that costs money. And it's just another testament to mismanagement of our money. And everyday hardworking people are getting squeezed in a lot of different ways. Let's go over to another way to talk about that. And you brought in something very interesting, and that was your transaction receipt for your license plate. Let's talk a little bit about that.
I think this goes back. We've talked a lot about Tabor and how...
which is Colorado's Taxpayer's Bill of Rights.
Yeah, Taxpayer Bill of Rights, and how many agencies and government entities have gotten around it by calling everything a fee. And I think this is the first year that they've sent out like a list like this. So it was really helpful. You know, and so the total bill for the license plates was about $172. Well, let's see, Kim, 75 of that was a late fee.
So this was an older car.
Yeah, it's an older car.
Okay.
75 was a late fee because the emission stations were closed, and I couldn't get an emissions test. So, you know, I have to pay the 75 and then send in a form to beg and plead with them to please give it back to me, which I think they will. But, you know, I added up the charges that I thought were actually relevant to the vehicle. You've got a $9 base fee, 10 cents for motorist insurance date. I guess they have to make sure you have insurance. That's fair. $3 for specific ownership tax, and 17 cents that they charged me for the little sticker. So I add all that up. It comes up to about $12. And then I pay another 25 because I have a designer plate, because I like the one with the mountains on it.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, the total's $37.
Okay.
Well, not including the late fee, I mean, it's 97 that I had to pay. And there's all these the age of the vehicle add-on. They're charging me $7 because my vehicle's too old. Steve?
Well, as soon as you guys started talking about this, I pulled up mine because I had sent this in a couple weeks ago and said, we need to talk about this. I think the age of the vehicle add-on, mine was $7 as well.
Yeah.
That just infuriates me. It's none of your business, Douglas County. Let's get specific. How old my vehicle is, and then the charge me for it. Do you also have two charges on there for emissions, one for county, one for state?
Well, I've got, emissions program area county, statewide air account. I mean, there's just all kinds of little things on here. Bridge safety surcharge.
Yes.
That's $18.
That's $18. Road safety surcharge, peace officer standardized. I mean, all of these things may be important and need to be funded, but they should be funded through taxes openly. And, you know, they have to adjust their budget instead of just charging extra fees when they can't make ends meet on the tax revenue.
Yeah.
Which brings up, I need to pull up our voter's guide because there is going to be a ballot question, or there is a ballot question regarding fees, because under Tabor, Colorado's Taxpayers Bill of Rights, there's several different things. In that, if PBIs, your politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties, want to raise taxes, they have to get approval from the voters to do so. If they want to incur debt that we have to pay off, they have to get approval from the voters to do so. And then if they keep excess revenue, that's our money, above a very generous formula of inflation plus population growth, they just have to ask us. But when Tabor was created, and they went through and they basically said, well, gosh, if in fact a library district wanted to increase their fees for getting there late, you shouldn't have to go and ask the voters to do that. That would be expensive. And they go, yeah, that makes sense. So as Rick Turnquist has mentioned now, they've taken that fee And you could now drive an aircraft carrier through that loophole because they call all kinds of different things fees. And as you look at this, your bill, your transaction receipts on this Jason McBride for your license plate, there are so many, they're called a fee or a surcharge. They don't call it a tax, which means that they never had to get approval to do that. So let's see, which one is this? It is Proposition 117. We are a strong yes on that, where if, in fact, an enterprise is created, a government enterprise, where they can charge fees, and the fees raise over $100 million over the first five-year period, then they have to get approval for us to do that. That is a really good idea. They've been consistently trying to figure out how to, and when I say they, it's politicians on both sides of the aisle, bureaucrats and interested parties. They know that if they ask the voters, that many times they might say no because they say that doesn't make sense, that program doesn't make sense. And so they don't want to ask us. And so they've come up with this scheme, and you see it right here on your transaction receipt for your license plates.
Well, and Kim, I think people are have an aversion to having their taxes raised. And I don't think they necessarily always would if it was for a specific purpose. You know, if they were to suggest a tax increase, a small tax increase for a specific purpose, and I believed them, then I might be willing to say, yeah, I'm willing to pitch in for that. But frankly, I think the PBIs, as you call them, which is one, they've brought it upon themselves. I mean, they've been so opaque and not transparent and not followed through for so many decades now that anytime they try to raise taxes, even if it's for a quote good cause, it gets voted down. I mean, even in a state that is, you know, turning blue, any tax increase gets blown up because nobody believes them.
Well, and then going back to our voter's guide, then, is we are making the case to vote Republican. Even though you may not love a candidate, you've got to look at this from a bigger picture standpoint. And that is, who is standing for higher taxes? Kamala Harris, of course, she said that they're only going to raise taxes on people that make $400,000 or more. I don't believe her on that.
I don't either.
And so if you want to vote for somebody that wants to take more of your money via force, that they've been behind the destruction and division of our country, then vote Democrat. But if you want to save this country, if you want to work to limit government, even with big government Republicans, we can make a change there. You need to vote Republican. We're going to go to break. Any final thoughts on this particular segment, Jason, before we go to break?
Well, I just make a very quick comment about Kamala Harris, and when you're talking about taxes, you know, you asked Dr. Jill, you know, what was some of the lies that come up? Well, one thing I know for a fact she's lying about is the Trump tax cuts, because I've done the analysis on it. And when Mike Pence says the average American family saves $2,000, that's absolutely 100% accurate. It's mathematically true. In many cases, it's much, much more than that. So when she said Joe Biden will repeal the Trump tax cut, she said it herself. Now, Biden said it as well, but she said it, and then within 5 minutes was turning back around and going back on it and saying, no, he's not going to raise your taxes. Well, I thought Pence did a good job to say, well, is he going to repeal part of it, or what is he getting? And again, she wouldn't answer the question, but this narrative that Trump's tax cuts only benefited the rich and didn't help the middle class or the lower class or the upper middle or whatever is patently 100% false.
And our landing page, AIR Presidential, that's AIRpresidential.com, you can request that analysis that Jason has done on that, so that when you are talking to people over the next, is it 27 days, I think, Steve, till Election Day, you've got the facts. And you've got the context of all of that, and that is really important. The truth is the facts with context. And Jason McBride, you have given people a great tool with that. We're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, speaking of a great tool, I'm thinking of Castlegate Knife and Tool. They're located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. They are family-owned business, And they have a beautiful, just a beautiful repertoire of knives, whether or not you're a collector or if you're in the military and you need something that you can really depend on, or a sportsman. They have great kitchen knife sets as well as steak knife sets, just all kinds of great things there. I've gotten several wedding gifts there and given some beautiful steak knife sets. And so be sure and check out castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. When we come back, Jason McBride with Presidential Wealth Management is in studio. We will continue our discussion. I really like to talk again a little bit about these Trump tax cuts. We'll be right back.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
And welcome back to The Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. And we just you just heard the promo for I'm a Trumpster. We're going to be doing a really fun event with them on Saturday, October 17th. You'll be able to get your picture taken with the guys, the bus. You can even go in the bus. As you all may know, there's this 45-foot bus that they have wrapped with the I'm a Trumpster Minority Tour. There's a big picture of President Trump and then Reggie Carr and Johnny Thomas. It's a pretty cool thing. You've seen it, Jason McBride.
Yeah, it is a behemoth of a bus, and the wrap is very tastefully done. Reggie and Johnny are both just a couple of fun, great guys, and I think it's great what they're doing, and they put a lot of their own effort and money into this, so they are to be commended for their efforts.
And we need to help them. Yep. They have stepped up to the plate to really make a difference. And so this is going to be a great fun event. We will be rolling out when you can buy the tickets this weekend. So check out the KimMunson.com for that as well. Jason McBride, I just want to mention, because we've got a lot to go on to go over here, is regarding the Trump tax cuts. Go to airpresidential.com. That's our landing page together. And you've gone through different scenarios. And it has been significant what everyday hardworking people saved from their federal income tax bill with the Trump tax cuts.
Yeah, there's no question about it. Again, it's just math. I didn't make these numbers up. I mean, I went right to a 1040 calculator. I verified it by hand to make sure it was doing things right. So these numbers are accurate. There may be other situations out there, but I tried to do 4, 5, 6 different ones that were a very diverse slice of what you might see as far as Americans, married, single, kids, no kids, lower income, upper income. And I think you get a very good idea of where the benefit of the Trump tax cuts mostly fell.
So be sure and check that out at airpresidential.com. Before we get into our other subject here, Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management, you are such a valued partner of the Kim Munson Show. And this week we've been talking about another one of your colleagues who you've said has been there longer than you. So how long would that be? How long has he been there?
Well, I don't think he's been there. I think he's been there since 93, if I'm not mistaken. Now, I got there in 95, so I can't count that high anymore. I guess I've been there 25 years, and John Avery's been there about 27 years. And, you know, John is a heck of a good guy. He's he just grinds out his work. You know, interesting fellow to talk to, you know, wife and a daughter. And, you know, He's trying to help people understand how to convert from more of like a growth portfolio to income and understand how it's different, mm-hmm. you know, once you're kind of retired, Kim. And I brought some numbers with me,
okay.
if it's okay if I go through those, because, you know, a lot of the questions that I'm getting and I know John's getting and probably financial advisors across the country is what's going to happen to these markets if X happens with the elections? What's going to happen if Y happens? Well, nobody knows for sure what's going to happen. But here's some facts. I mean, the markets are very close to their all-time highs. The economy is trying to recover, but it's not back close to its all-time highs yet. So we've got a pretty big air pocket, I think, in the prices of stocks compared to where the economy is right now. So there is some risk. And one of the worst things that can happen is that you retire and you're going to start using your money to provide a paycheck, and right afterwards you see some big drops occur, which can hurt you. And Kim, mathematically, I just wanted to go through an example if we could.
Sure.
Like, here's, you know, if everybody remembers when the internet stocks blew up,
mm-hmm.
you know, this was 20 years ago, but it was kind of a three-year thing. Well, you know, the rule of thumb's always kind of been, if you retire at 65, you know, the first year you retire, you withdraw 4% of whatever your portfolio's worth, you adjust for inflation each year, and you have a pretty good chance of not running out of money,
okay?
So someone had $1 million, let's say when they retired in the year, right at the end of 1999, well, in 2000, the S&P dropped 9%. So now your million's down to 910.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you take out your $40,000 for income, well, now you're down to 870. So that's a little disturbing, mm-hmm. right out of the chute. Well, next year the market dropped 11%. So now your 870 is down to 774. Did your bills go away?
No.
No, they didn't. In fact, they probably went up because of inflation. So now you had to take out 41,000. Your account's now down to 733. And then unfortunately, in 2002, the market took an even bigger hit. It dropped 22%.
Okay.
So now your money's down to 572. Now, mentally, you're starting to say, my goodness, I've almost been cut in half.
Mm-hmm.
But you still have to take out the 42,000 to cover your bills, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now you're down to 530,000. And to get the 43,000 you're going to need the next year, that's not 4% anymore, Kim. That's over 8%.
Right.
You're withdrawing out. Now, in all likelihood, the market will bounce back and help. But just think about that. In the first 3 years, your million is now cut in half, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So the first question I would ask is, will you be able to hold on?
Mm-hmm.
Will you be able to stomach that and hold on? And history proves...
Yeah.
That most, well, I don't know the percentage, but many people are not able to. They will get scared, panic, and sell very close to the bottom, and then your chances are even worse,
mm-hmm.
If you're afraid to reinvest. So those numbers are kind of disturbing to me, and if you were in the NASDAQ back 2000 to 2002, it's even worse. Mm-hmm. This is the S&P, and let's think about it. Back then, almost every fund out there became a closet tech fund. So most of these numbers were actually much, much worse in reality. So if you're concerned and you're getting close to retirement, keep this in mind. The market is very high right now. There's certainly some risk out there due to the election. There's other risks out there, even if the election goes the way that, quote, we want it to. And again, why not take advantage of the high prices to maybe look at shifting some of your money to something that's protected, that will provide guaranteed income, that's pretty darn generous. And yeah, Kim, I'm talking about maybe looking at an annuity,
mm-hmm.
which I know is a bad word to some people, but I got to tell you, I like them. If you understand why you're investing in it, you understand the features. I find most people, if they understand why they're doing it, they're very, very pleased with their investment into it. So just think about it. While the prices are high, take advantage and maybe save some pain.
Yeah. A portion of it, maybe a reassess assessment on that. So John Avery is a good guy to talk to about that.
John Avery is a good guy to talk to. You know, I'll give out his direct line. Please give him a call. Make an appointment. We're open for business. You can reach John at 303-749-2765. That's 303-749-2765.
Well, Jason McBride, thank you so much for being in studio today. You and all the folks at Presidential Wealth Management are a valued partner of the Kim Munson Show, and I greatly appreciate you.
Well, I sure appreciate you too, Kim.
It's important that we get these things out there to help you get your brain around these issues so that you can converse with your friends and your family and your colleagues about the important issues that are facing our communities, our state, and our country. Our quote for today is from Benjamin Rush. He says, "Freedom can only exist in the society of knowledge. Without learning, men are incapable of knowing their rights." So my friends, today, be grateful. Read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America. Young, like a new-